Hey guys, it's Mia Baker here and welcome back to a very special episode of Unsussed. Now, I've just come back from attending the 150th Open Up in St. Andrews in Scotland, and I can tell you, it was an absolute roller coaster of a week, to say the least. Now, I'm here to tell you every single last detail of my experience and my honest opinion of the event, especially considering it was my first time and what life behind the scenes of such a large event is really like. And on that note, let's get started. In true Mia Baker style, I am in a random country. Well, I'm not in a random country, that's a lie. I'm in France because it is the Evian Championship this week. So it was the Open, the 150th Open last week. Today is Monday. This podcast is coming out on Tuesday tomorrow. So I'm really cutting it fine, to be honest. But I wanted to do this episode straight after the Open so I can tell you everything like as fresh as can be. Now, yeah, I did just catch my flight from Edinburgh to, oh my God, someone from America. Well, I don't know if someone, but people from America called Edinburgh. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, I just thought it was quite funny. Edinburgh. I didn't have a clue what they were saying. But yeah, I just got my flight from Edinburgh to Geneva and then just drove from Geneva through to France. I've been to Switzerland before, but now I can say I have landed in Switzerland and I've driven through it into France, which is pretty cool. I'm here for obviously the women's comp this week, which is so cool. I love women's events so much. Like, I honestly think they're so much fun to go to. So if you've never been to one, definitely recommend. Like, oh, they're just amazing. And the girls are so, so nice. And you might actually think that I sound quite echoey. You would be correct because this room is very echoey. The ceilings are so high. Like, I don't even know how high they are, but they're extremely high. I don't think I've ever stayed in a place that is this high. I think in my flat, because if I live in like a two-level flat, it's like the ceiling is like the height of both of those floors combined. So yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's honestly the most stunning place. The course looks amazing. I'm going to be playing in the Pro-Am, which I will tell you all about probably in my next episode. But yeah, I am here to talk to you about the 150th Open up in St. Andrews, my experience of it, because it is my first ever men's major. Oh my God. Also, just another thing to tell you, travel at the moment is crazy. So my flight from London to Edinburgh was 7 hours delayed. I was flying with EasyJet, but I think it should be called Difficult Jet because it was far from easy. I think we waited in the airport for like 4 hours and then was stuck on the plane for like three. And genuinely, no word of a lie, they made us, well, they thought it would be a good idea to play Toilet Roll Mexican Wave. I've never heard of it in my whole entire life, and it's the weirdest thing that I've ever witnessed in my whole entire life. But genuinely, no word of a lie, they put Toilet Roll along both aisles, and Toilet Roll was on people's heads, and they wanted us to like bounce it up and compete again. Oh my God, it was just the weirdest thing I've ever witnessed. I actually put it on my story. People had Toilet Roll on their heads. It's so funny. Like, it was genuinely hilarious. And then they opened up the cockpit, so I actually got to go and sit in the pilot seat, which was actually quite interesting. I think 99% of people who went in there were actually children, so clearly I must have been a child. But it was actually interesting. There's, like, so many buttons. I've never seen so many buttons in my whole entire life. I generally don't know how they do it. Maybe it's like a keyboard, like they all have, like, a single letter. Because a keyboard's got quite a lot of buttons, really, hasn't it? But you kind of use them all. Anyway, yeah, it was absolute chaos. And then I went to get my flight from Edinburgh to Geneva. And all of the conveyor belts were broken. So no one could actually get their luggage into the airport. And that was a bit of a nightmare. And then as soon as we landed, we got a text. Everyone on the flight got a text saying not all of the baggage ended up on the plane. So, yeah, not ideal. But I was actually extremely lucky. I told you, I'm a very lucky flyer. I actually managed to arrive after going through security and everything, and my bags were already there. Like, it was just there. It was the strangest thing ever. I've never been faster. No, my bags have never been faster than me. It's crazy. I'm so lucky. But yeah, apparently it's meant to be a heat wave in London, so there's a bit of a nightmare trying to get back on the trains, because isn't it right? I think someone told me that basically because of the heat, I think it's going to be like 40 degrees, which is outrageous, but because of the heat, it expands the metal, obviously, and it means that the trains can't run on the track efficiently, and so basically the trains break and shut down. I mean, I could be just spreading lies here, but if you've actually experienced that, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. So 150th Open, my very first. I actually was there for two reasons. So not only just to visit, but I was there for Adidas. So I was doing some filming, some content with some of their players. And I was also there with Sky Sports Golf. So it was my very first time ever doing anything with Sky Sports, which was pretty cool, to be honest with you. Like, I'll go into it a bit more later, but I was on live TV. I was genuinely on live TV, and I was telling George, I was like, George, I'm on TV, make sure you catch me. I was riding a bicycle. Yeah, I'll go into that in a minute because that does actually sound quite random now I say it out loud, but I was riding a bicycle. Anyway, the city itself. So I'd been up to St. Andrews once before. I think I told you about this, and I was filming for a company called Cola who does like bathrooms. Well, they do the bathroom of St. Andrews Old Course Hotel. So that's the first time I'd ever been. I'd never actually like been around the course properly, or never played it or anything. But so we went up, obviously, to St. Andrews, and I was staying in a house. I was staying in a house with Iona Stevens, Henny, and also Incy. So they're all presenters on Sky. They're absolute incredible girls. Like, honestly, each and every one of them is just amazing. Like, I love them so much. They're such like amazing humans, and they're so nice and so kind, and I literally just think, you know, they're incredible. So if you guys don't follow them already, make sure you like follow them on all socials and give them lots of love, because they work so hard, and the presenting life that they lead is so not easy. Like, I really got a taste of it, and it's hard. It is really, really hard work. Now, if you've never been to St. Andrews, it's like this teeny tiny little town, and basically, it was never going to fit everybody who was going to come and visit the Open. Like, people were everywhere around Scotland. I think our accommodation was about 8 minutes drive away, an hour's walk away, and that was considered close. Obviously, if you're living in the centre, like in St. Andrews, you're like mega, mega lucky, because then you can go out and you can just chill. But taxis were a nightmare. Like, Uber didn't work up there. Getting a taxi was near impossible, or it took you like an hour or 2 hours. It was crazy. So yeah, that was a little bit tricky. I mean, if there's another Open and it's anywhere as small as that, you need to book your accommodation in advance, and you need some sort of transport thing going on, whether you got your own car or like a taxi service, because that was probably one of the things that I thought was quite, I don't know, you know, after you've like been out all day and then you want to kind of, you know, catch up with people at the end of the day, you kind of end up leaving early, or earlier than you would want to, because it's so hard to get home. Whereas if there was like taxis or Ubers really easily, then I think people would have stayed out for longer. So it's probably the people who lived in the town during the event that actually stayed out. Otherwise, everyone was going home, you know, a bit early. That was one thing I'd say was a bit annoying. But like, obviously, St. Andrews itself is so tiny and so cute. And actually, I think I'd have quite liked to have gone to uni there. Like, thinking about it now, had I known golf, I think it would have been so cool. I'm actually really annoyed that I didn't pick up golf earlier in my life. Like, there's so many things that I'm seeing and experiencing now that I'm just like, oh, I wish I played golf so much earlier. Plus, I'd be so much better than I am now. Like, I'm just very average. Like, I'm average, but kind of bad average, rather than being like good average. I'd be quite good average, I think, if I start. I could actually be good, not just average, like good, maybe, potentially. So obviously, when I went there, my first day, well, I arrived on the Sunday, but I kind of went straight to bed because it was just a bit of a mad, you know, 7 hours. Oh my gosh, it wasn't even mad. I don't know why I ever said it was mad. It was crazy, 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 ridiculously mad. I didn't get to bed until like 3 a.m. Like, genuinely, I left my house at midday. I left my house at 12:30 noon, and I got to my hotel at 3 a.m. in the morning, which is crazy. And then I had to be up at like, what time did I get to the course? I got to the course for like 9-ish. So I really didn't get much sleep whatsoever. So yeah, my first day, basically how it worked was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I did Sky Sports in the morning and then Adidas in the afternoon. And I was doing Sky Sports Golf Social Monday to Friday. And then it was Saturday, Sunday, I was going to be doing the live stuff. So I was doing the Open morning show with Henny, Nick Doherty, and also a guy called Nicholas who plays on tour. So yeah, I mean, I arrived and I went to the TV compound. Now, I've never been to a TV compound before in my whole entire life. And if you've never been to one before, it is the biggest, craziest place in the world. Like, obviously, this is 150th opening. It's going to be mega. It's going to be ginormous. And I went there, and I have honestly never seen so many wires in my whole entire life. Like, you know, in movies, when you see production sets and you see all of these, like, containers, metal containers, you know what I mean? They're just everywhere, and there's wires everywhere. And I was just walking through, and I was like, oh my God, like the operation behind getting what everyone just sees on TV, like you literally sit back, you relax, and you put on your TV and you just watch it. But the amount that goes on behind the scenes to get that there is crazy, because like someone's job is to like set up all the wires. Someone's job is to make sure all of the wires are connecting to the right things, all the broadcasters are going to the right place. Then someone has to like, you know, organize all of the footage and watch it and produce it and direct it and edit it. And it's happening live. So it's all happening as you watch. Oh my God. My mind was like honestly blown, because I went into the room, and if you've seen all my stories, you'd have seen that there's those like production rooms, which have about a gazillion computer screens, and all of the golf from all of the cameras are happening at the same time, and someone's there being like, oh, you need to put that one on, put that one, put that one on. They're like, break here, break in 3, 2, 1. Then you've got the presenters, and then someone's like telling the presenters what to say, and then obviously leading from one presenter and then moving them over to someone who might be on the course. Anyway, it's just this ginormous operation that you have no idea like the sheer scale of what is going on. So it's made me much more appreciative of all of the hard work to just make golf happen. Because if you're watching football, obviously there's just like a pitch, there's just one pitch and there's one match going on. Whereas golf, it's like there's however many players out on the course exactly the same time playing 18 holes for however many hours. Like, it's actually really hard when you think about it. It's not like a 2-hour match on the same pitch with two teams. Like, that's all you need. Oh my God, I was absolutely entirely mind blown, to be honest with you. So obviously, like I said, the first day I was doing social, and I went round and I just had to like explore the fan zone. And I was just kind of like, obviously with it being my first, just going around and seeing what it's like to be a spectator. So practice days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, obviously comp starts Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the vibe was very different. On the practice days, there's quite a lot of media around, so people for like golf magazines or people who just come to like watch certain players, like brands, that type of thing. But then obviously you've got a lot of like hardcore golfers too. So you've got quite of a mix and match. Typically media go home just before the comp start, and then a lot of like more spectators arrive into the event. But also, well, I'm going to be really, really brutally honest with you. I actually found it really uncomfortable walking around such a large event as a woman on my own. Like, realistically, golf is becoming more, well, more women are starting to play, but still at that event, it was probably like, I want to say like 90% men and 10% women. Like, it was pretty male dominated, and I just felt a bit uncomfortable, especially when it's like boys and beers. Like, I know it sounds, I can't articulate this super well, but just imagine you have a daughter and they're thrown into this massive event, which has like thousands and thousands of people, of which 90% are male, and they're all drinking beer, and then they have to walk around on their own. Like, it's just quite a lot, and I just found it quite overwhelming, and I was really nervous about going to the event, and it just made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know how I can like get over that. I think it's just probably large crowds anyway. Walking around as a woman on your own can be a little bit intimidating, I guess. I don't know if there's much more that can be done other than having like someone there with you, which is actually why Seb, so if you guys know Seb on golf, I did a podcast with him recently, and he's been in some of my YouTube videos, but he's like honestly one of the most excellent brains in the world I have yet to meet. He is just one of the smartest people I know. But he was so kind. He literally spent so much of the day. We went round together. We were filming footage together. And it made my experience so much more enjoyable. So if you're ever thinking of going to an event, like, I would 100% say go with someone. I personally just found it way more enjoyable having someone there, especially if you're new to the game, because that person, if they're either new, well, if they've been playing golf for ages, they can tell you so much history. Like, for example, the Silken Swilken Bridge. I usually call it Silicon. It's so embarrassing. When I saw Rick Shields, and he was literally taking the piss at me because I kept calling it the Silicon Bridge. Embarrassing. But anyway, the Swilken Bridge, I was like, yeah, this is really underwhelming and it's so tiny and I don't really think much of it. And then Seb was like, Mia, you do realize this is the most iconic bridge because it's had every golfer through the history of time, more or less, walk across it. Like, it is just filled with history. And I was like, oh my God, it means so much more than this teeny tiny bridge that I kind of looked at and was just a bit like, is that it? Why does everyone take a photo on it? Do you know what I mean? Like, little things that you don't really think about. Yeah, so having someone there who knows a bit about golf and just someone to go around with you honestly makes your experience so much better. So I would highly, highly, highly recommend that. So yeah, obviously there was a practice days, and then in the afternoon, oh, let me explain to you what's in the fan zone, because that was like such a cool place. So the fan zone's, firstly, it's massive. And what's even bigger is like the shop. It's called the Open Shop, I believe. The biggest golf shop I have honestly ever seen in my whole entire life. It was humongous and it had everything, like men's, women's. It had baby stuff. Like, you could buy bibs, like baby bibs, which have like the Open. You could buy dog stuff, like dog collars and dog bowls. I honestly wanted to buy a dog bowl for my non-existent dog called Bruno, who I'm going to get when I'm able to stay at home for longer. I really want a Cavapoo so, so badly. Like, a red Cavapoo is literally my dream, and I'm going to call him Bruno. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait. I just want to love him so much. Anyway, you can tell I'm very excited about getting my dog. But yeah, I really wanted to buy my dog bowl. I didn't buy my dog bowl. I actually ended up buying a towel for myself, a golf towel. I thought it was quite like a nice gift. There was honestly absolutely everything. Like, I really wanted to buy some glasses, like drinking glasses, which have the Open on, but I didn't think it would travel too well coming back, well, flying over to France and then flying back to London. And plus, I don't have that much luggage space and I didn't want to risk it. So I didn't end up buying that, but I've loved to have bought that. And I also bought, what did I buy? Oh, I bought a driver head cover and also a cap for George. So he loves camo print. So I bought him a camo print, the Open driver head cover, and also a camo print, the Open cap too. So that's really cute. Yeah, I just wanted to like buy a little something to say I've been to the Open and I could take it home with me. I should have bought ball marker. Oh my God, I should have bought ball marker. What a stupid little girl. I mean, I've got a St. Andrew's ball marker, which is like attached to a cap. I guess that's fine. Yeah. I guess that's fine. But yeah, I should have bought ball marker, thinking back about it. Anyway, there's also this thing called the Golf Zone, which was kind of like history, golf challenges, putting challenges. It's quite like an activity-based zone, which is quite fun. It means you can have like an experience golfing and playing challenges, like young Tom Morris, or I think it was young Tom Morris, or was it old Tom Morris? Tom Morris. Young or old, one of the two, practicing in the sim, people were having a go. And it's honestly so fun watching people just hit balls. I know that there's obviously golf going on, but I really love just seeing your average Joe getting involved and playing golf and enjoying themselves. I really find that quite fulfilling. And I just loved watching people just practice. And then obviously all the kids, they were playing in like the chipping and the bunker area, and they were playing on VR in there. They were doing the putting in there. It was so cool. Then obviously there were so many like food stands and food things. There was one called the Slice where you can get your like pasties and that type of thing. There was like fish and chips, there was pizza vans, there was chicken and chips, like all the traditional food van type things, ice cream vans everywhere. And yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. Obviously there was a bar, there was champagne, there was everything you could possibly want, like the dream for anyone going to like a festival-y style thing. It was really cool. And obviously the weather was actually really, really good. Apart from it kind of rained in the mornings, but the evenings, oh my God, I've never been anywhere with such beautiful sunsets. I honestly thought like Scotland's not that bad. Apparently St. Andrews has like its own microclimate, and like 99% of the time it's not too bad. So if you ever do go up to St. Andrews or to Scotland, apparently it's not that bad. You should just like do it. Be super chill. Yeah, it was honestly, it was stunning. Then there's also obviously massive screens everywhere, so you could go and watch the golf and like sit on beanbags on the grass and like really immerse yourself with all of the fans and everyone. And I quite like that vibe. I quite like, you know, if you didn't want to go out and follow anyone around or sit on the course, you could literally sit and just be in the atmosphere. And I really, yeah, I just think that's quite cool. Oh my gosh, also, for women, this is amazing, but toilets. Because it's like 90% men, the toilets, there's never a queue for the women. It's amazing. It's so amazing. Like, never have I ever been to a women's toilet and not had to queue for like 5 billion years. Just walked straight in. It was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. There was queues for the men's and not for the women's. It was wonderful. I know it's such a small thing, but honestly, it's like, it was a mini highlight of my day, just being able to like go to the loo at any point in time and it just being totally chilled. So the course itself, if you've never been as well, it kind of plays like front nine in a line and then back nine in a line next to it. So it kind of is like the course is in the middle and then people are all around it, like a massive auditorium in a way. But sometimes the issue is it's like the course is above the ground. It's from where the spectators are. So it's hard to kind of see what's going on, if that makes sense. Whereas if the course was below the ground from the spectators around the edge, I think it would have been easier to see. Does that even make sense? Like for putts, for example, it's kind of hard to see what's going on if there's people in front of you, because obviously it being elevated and raised. But it did kind of remind me of it being like a stage, like all the golfers were on this green stage and then it had all of the fans around it. Obviously, with it being a links course, the terrain was quite undulating. Apparently, that was because of the animals. Like back in the day, the animals used to like dig and do stuff with the ground, and they basically ended up making these hills. So yeah, it's quite cool to see it in real life. I mean, it looks quite easy. I don't want to say it is easy. It looks easy because it looks so wide. It looks so open. But obviously, the wind. That's the main thing about these links courses, isn't it? It's the wind. And they change so much. I swear down, like at the end of the course, which is like the 8th tee box, 12th tee box, 11 green, that area, 7th green or whatever it is, the wind swirls. Like it's not left, it's not right, it's nowhere in particular. It kind of just goes round in a circle. And because you've got water like on the side, it's kind of like on a peninsula almost. Honestly, it was like tornado. It makes it so, so difficult. I mean, if you naturally do more low-flighted shots, then it's not going to be, well, I don't know. It's just hard. That's what makes it hard, I think, is just the weather. And you can obviously see on the scores when people were playing the actual tournament days, like people who went out in the morning, I feel like they typically did better than those who went off in the afternoon. And I feel like it's because the wind picked up later in the day, whereas in the morning, it just felt a bit more calm. There was often a bit more rain in the morning, so the ground was a bit softer, wetter maybe. But then in the afternoon, it just became like mega windy, but really sunny. And yeah, it's honestly, it's so weird. Also, another really interesting thing is when you look at it, the bunkers, some of them look like they're going backwards, like they don't make any sense. For instance, usually with a bunker, you're shooting towards a bunker, the lower bit is towards you, and then obviously the high bit is further away because that makes it tricky. But some of the bunkers, the higher bit is towards you and the lower bit is further away. And I learned that the reason for that is because St. Andrew's Old Course used to play backwards. It never used to be played forwards. Actually, another fun fact for you, because I was learning so many fun facts. Back in the day, the Open Championship was played on one day. They played 36 holes. They played three rounds of 12 holes. So I think St. Andrews used to be a 12-hole course, which is actually crazy. It used to be a 12-hole course, and they used to play it three times when they played in the Open. How crazy is that? Apparently, it was all done in a pub. They just thought of it in a pub. Oh, let's do, I think they did like a 12 round and another 12 round. And then they went to the pub, had a drink, and were like, let's create the Open. And then they went out and did their third one after they all were drinking. That was it. How crazy. That was legit how it started. Like, what? Also, if you were ever planning on going to St. Andrews or if there was ever a tournament there, again, I'd say one of the best spots, other than obviously sitting on the first and the 18th. If you want the most action-packed filled spot, it is actually right at the end of the course because of that area where it's like the 11th, 12th, 7th, 8th, like all clustered together and there's so much going on and so many people playing at the same time. So like that's such a good spot to be. Then obviously the first is good and the 18th is good, like that grandstand. Although obviously once the last people have teed off, then you've only got people coming like through down the 18th. So yeah, it's entirely up to you. But I would say at the back is like such a good spot if you could get into that grandstand. Although there were like queues on the final days to get into there, which was absolutely madness. So obviously that was like my mornings. I would just go around, do some filming, make footage for Sky Sports Golf. Obviously Monday was a bit more tricky because I was doing it on my own. I didn't feel that comfortable. But then Tuesday and Wednesday was so much better when I had Seb. Like he really made my experience so good and much more enjoyable. Then, yeah, the afternoons, I went over to the Fairmont Hotel. So basically Adidas had this thing called the Open House. And it's like this mansion, manor? I guess it's like a mansion manor, which was next to the Fairmont. And they basically hired it out and they revamped it specifically for the players. So basically all the players, they get given a scripting for the week, which means they get given, well, told what kind of outfits they're going to wear, and that's where they go to collect their outfits. So they use this kind of really cool like blue neon stuff. I did a Insta story, and it's actually on my TikTok as well, what it looked like inside. It was so cool. Like the images that came out of it as well were just unbelievable. It was just like one of the most modern, coolest events in golf that I think I've actually ever been to. But one of the interesting things that I had to do, obviously, one of them was I had to do like questions with some of the players. Okay, this is kind of funny. So the first one I had to do with DJ, and we sat in a buggy, and initially we were going to do all about music. But I think music is such a hard one because, to be fair, if anyone asked me about music, I think my answers would be terrible. Like if someone says, oh, what's your favourite music? I'm a bit like, oh, I don't really mind. I kind of listen to the charts. You know, it's not a very good answer. It's not like I have a specific band that is my go-to. And I think quite a lot of people might be like that. So we kind of tried to do that with DJ and he struggled with it. And to be fair, he asked me, he's like, Mia, what would you say? And I was like, good question. I can't answer this either. So yeah, that was kind of hard. Although I did get to see some of DJ's like practice playlists, and he listens to things like Harry Styles and George Ezra. I was like, oh my God, my man, this is a bit of me. So yeah, he listens to pop, literally UK top 40. Maybe it's world global top 40. I don't know. He listens to like the latest trendiest songs. And to be honest, I actually really rated that. I thought that was pretty good. Anyway, DJ was actually really, really nice. At least we had a very pleasant chat when we were talking badly about music together. And then later on that evening was the Adidas party, like the big Adidas party. And I had to basically speak on stage. I'd speak on stage in front of, how many people came? Maybe like 100 and something people. And I had to basically cook with Colin Morikawa on stage. He was cooking me ramen, which I know it sounds really weird. Okay, so basically, you go into the open house, and obviously there's all these cool rooms, and one of the rooms has this, like, pro shop, and in order to buy anything in the pro shop, it's all, like, exclusive stuff, limited edition type thing, you have to win tokens. Now, outside was all of the games where you can win these tokens, and tokens mean prizes. So there was food stands and drink stands and all of that type of stuff, but there was also putting roulette. There was basketball, there was like arcade games, there was like actual roulette, there was blackjack. And every time you won, you got to win a token, which means you could then go and trade it, and like different things cost different amount. So it's kind of like, what would you say? It was like an arcade. Is that what they are? Like an arcade? It was kind of like an arcade, which was so fun. Actually, funnily enough, there was this little boy and he honestly... Well, he would check in on me every single second, be like, Mia, I made this many tokens. He was so cute. He legitimately went out. He must have been the richest child in tokens that I have ever seen. Like, he worked hard for every single token he earned, and he was buying people like all sorts of gifts from the shop. And I give him like credit for the grafting he did to win all of these tokens. He almost got, well, he didn't get banned, but they were like, you can't win any more tokens from this game because I think you've like literally used every single token possible. But it was really sweet, like just watching youngsters who love golf play these games to win golf stuff. It was so nice. I really loved the idea. I thought it was such a cool idea. Anyway, I had to interview Colin. So basically this ramen chef came in and Colin loves ramen. So because Colin obviously won the Open last year at Royal St. George, Adidas wanted to put on a bit of an event for him. So I had to speak. The thing is people always put me on stage or whatever, talking to lots of people, but it's actually so different than talking to a camera because you're obviously talking to lots of people and they're right there in front of you and they're listening to you. And you have that kind of, well, I have that kind of feeling of like, no one wants to listen to me. Why are people listening to me? Everyone must be ignoring me, but you just have to like ignore it somehow. It's actually easier doing it with someone like to talk to because a lot of the times I have to talk to myself. Like I'm on stage and I'm the only person talking. Kind of guest like a podcast a little bit. You're kind of doing this monologue. But it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be because Colin is so good. Like he's really articulate. He's quite chatty. He's really kind, really sweet. We actually spoke about one of the things that he did with Adidas. So he designed this golf shoe. It was like a special edition golf shoe for the 150th Open. And one of the interesting things about it is the bottom of the shoe is in this print that he loves to wear. It's kind of like, I think it's like a camo print. And then also he, I think it's his left pocket. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's his left pocket, but he always goes out with five tees in there. So what they did was they put a print of five tees on the left sole of the shoe, which I thought was actually super, super cool. So we spoke about that for a bit. Then we started making ramen. And it was a bit of a ramen competition between the ramen chef and Colin. Now, Colin, I have come to learn, is not just competitive. He's extremely competitive. And I was going to be the one tasting it. So he genuinely was asking me, do you like spicy food? Do you like peanuts? Like, he was genuinely asking what all my favorite flavors were. And he made me my perfect ramen. Like, I tried it. And his was so delicious. The other guy's was good, but he put in ingredients that I actually don't like that much because I'm not a big spicy fan, unfortunately. Yeah, I'm not very good with spice. I'm a bit of a wimp, a bit pathetic. But Colin, he made me like my perfect one because I like peanuts. I like that kind of taste. And I don't like spicy. One hilarious thing was he didn't know what a Scotch egg was. He's never had a Scotch egg in his whole entire life. I can legitimately say I made Colin Morikawa try a Scotch egg for the first time. I should also made him try haggis for the first time. I don't think he liked the haggis. He was like, comes he comes out on the Scotch egg. But I couldn't believe, I didn't know people didn't know what a Scotch egg was. I thought it was like a well-known food. Apparently not. Apparently Americans don't know what a Scotch egg is, which makes me come to think, if you don't know what a Scotch egg is, it's basically like a boiled egg wrapped around in sausage meat, wrapped around in breadcrumbs. Look it up if you don't know what it is. It's delicious. I really like Scotch eggs. I think they're really tasty. I like the mini ones where you just have like mini Scotch eggs. They're so yummy. I mean, it was kind of scary having to do this in front of loads of people, but we got through it. We're here to tell the tale. And people said to me it was fine. Well, some people said to me it was good, but it was fine. It was fine. Colin was just amazing. I was average. If you saw the photos, then yes, I was very average. But it was really fun. I actually really enjoyed it. I like having these kind of fun chats with people. I would have preferred if it was like a filmed thing and not in front of so many people, just because I just still find it really embarrassing. Like just talking to that many people, I just find like a little bit embarrassing. But it's okay. I think I'll get over it. I just need to like practice more, I guess. It's one of those things where you have to do it more to get more comfortable with it. But then it's uncomfortable having to practice, if that makes any sense. I honestly didn't even get to finish until like, oh my God, I think I went home at like 11 o'clock because I was meant to announce the raffle at the end. But then it got so late that they just like, we'll do it by email. So I never actually announced the raffle and I ended up going home at 11 o'clock because I was waiting for that and I had to do loads of like videos and I was doing editing. And obviously I hadn't had much sleep because I'd arrived in at 3 a.m. the previous morning. So yeah, I was like, absolutely exhausted. So I went home. And then obviously did the next day again where I did Sky Sports in the morning and then Adidas again in the afternoon. So in the afternoon, I got to speak to Tyrrell Hatton and also got to speak to Sergio Garcia. But this time we kind of changed it from what we did with DJ and we did these would you rather questions. So if you've not seen them on Instagram, I did it on my reels and also I put it on TikTok too. It is honestly so funny because I asked them like really random questions. I didn't just ask them like, would you rather hit a warm putt for the rest of your life or always make a fairway? You know, we kind of went, you know, a little bit rogue. We went Scottish. We stuck with the Scottish theme. Like we asked them things like Scotch egg for hands or haggis for feet, that type of thing, really random stuff. And I really enjoyed it because it really got their personality out and you kind of get to know people a bit more. It was so funny. Like I learned that Tyrrell doesn't like the sea. He would have known. Would you ever ask Tyrrell, do you like the sea? No, but if you give him a good... If you give him a would you rather question, he tells you he doesn't like the sea. It's very interesting. But he doesn't mind the pool, you know? Strange things. So if you've not watched that, go and watch it because it might make you laugh and it gets you to like know them a bit more. Also really funny, when I saw Sergio, I was like, Sergio was like, oh, nice to see you again. And I was like, in my head, I was thinking, I don't think I've ever met you, Sergio. I actually said that out loud. I was like, Sergio, I don't think we've ever met. We might have like locked eyes somewhere on the course, or I might have been like trying to get your attention, just being like, Sergio, you're so cool. I don't think we ever met, but he thinks we've met. So that's like my little win of the day. I was like, Sergio remembers me from I don't know when or where. I don't even remember. Have I ever met Sergio? I don't think I have, but he's so nice. Obviously, Tyrrell's super nice as well. I love Tyrrell. He's hilarious. They're both really funny and just... really chilled people. They're really nice to work with. That video content that we made is just gets their personality out. I just love it. I think more golf needs to be like that. Obviously, it was like a super busy day. So again, I didn't finish till really late and then I didn't eat dinner until like 8 or 9 o'clock or something ridiculous. But then I went and did a little walk around St. Andrews and it was just heaving. So many people in all the pubs, like drinking beer, like having the best time of their lives. And to be honest, it was actually really nice to see. Like, it's the biggest golf convention I think I have ever been to or seen in my life. Like, I've never seen anything like, obviously I've never been to a men's major before, but I've never seen anything like it. It was unbelievable. And it was actually really nice just to see everyone like chilling and relaxing and having a good time. There is that pub on the corner. Oh my God, I can't think of the name of it right now. The Dun something. That's where it begins with D. Anyway, it's kind of a weird one because the outside area is like literally on the street. So it looks like people are like people watching you as you walk by. That's what it feels like. It's kind of a weird thing. If you're walking the street, I think it's a bit uncomfortable. If you're sat in there being the one watching everyone walk by, I think it would be way more fun. It's like a really famous one. I've forgotten the name. Actually, it was outside there. I don't know if you've seen as well. Like Eric Anders Lang did this video where a guy, I think he was off +7, hit a golf shot from outside that pub over all of these buildings onto the 18th green. If you've not seen that, check it out because it is the most unbelievable thing I've ever seen. Like, I don't even know how they managed to do that and get away with it because, like, that is, oh my God, you could have hit a window. Like, oh my God, I don't think I could not have done that. I do not have the balls to do that. Oh my gosh. Honestly, it was just such a nightmare getting taxis everywhere. So we really struggled that night. I think it took us like an hour to get a taxi home. Again, another late night, very tired. The thing is I'm having late nights without actually like doing anything particularly fun. I think it'd have been so fun to be like a spectator at this event with a group of friends. When you're working, it's actually so different because you're being pulled front and center to do different things. And so it makes your experience just really different. Like, it's super fun because you can get up close and personal, you get to know the players, but then the trade-off is you don't get to enjoy it, watch it and relax as much, if that makes sense. So it totally depends. Like, obviously from the outside it looks like you're living the dream. Like, I look at my social sometime, I'm like, wow, it looked like I had the best time ever. When I look at that post that I did and it was literally like me, Rick and Pete, and then it's like me and Incy, and then it's me and Henny and Nick, and then, you know, all these photos, I'm like, oh my God, it looks absolutely unbelievable. But they are genuinely the highlights. They're like the little tiny moments where you manage to get a photo with the people that you've been seeing. To be fair, I did hang out with like Rick a lot and also with Seb a lot, just because like if you work in content, you just will kind of become friends, because at least for me, I don't really have colleagues. Obviously, I do a lot of stuff on my own. I do a lot of my work on my own, my filming on my own. Like, I even, clearly, I'm doing my podcast on my own, just talking to myself, which is actually really strange. I always think it's strange that I talk to myself. So when you see these guys, it's nice because you don't get to see, like, colleagues that often. So it's just a really nice... Anyway, my point being is, it is the highlight, and you do have to work hard. Like, going from tour to tour to tour, filming, being on a presenter on any of the, like, sports channels, takes a toll on you. Like, genuinely, I'm so exhausted. I'm here now, and all I want to do is sleep. And it is so beautiful outside where I am, at Evian, and all I want to do is sleep. This sounds so bad. Obviously, I'm not sleeping. I'm chatting to you. And I wanted to tell you every single last detail about the Open, which I'm doing now. But yeah, I'm so exhausted from the week. I don't even know how Incy, Iona, Henny did it. Oh yeah, I really want to get all three of them on my podcast, because we had some of the most interesting conversations about life on tour as a presenter. Questions that obviously I had no idea about. Realistically, I'm never going to be a presenter on tour. I'm not... Well, I only know so much about golf. I'm learning about my golf as I go, and I'm sharing it with you as I go. I'm not like them. I'd never played on tour. I never will play on tour. Like, I'm never going to be good enough. Obviously, I'll try my best to get as good as I can, but it's just not the lifestyle that I personally would choose to lead, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I'd love to get them on the podcast, because they have some really interesting and insightful things, and I just love hearing like the honest truth from people. I think it's so easy for people to just do a highlight reel and say, you know, what people want you to hear. But it's also so nice just to hear, you know, the brutal, honest truth. Which actually reminds me, on the Friday, I ended up doing a podcast with Eric Anders Lang, and he managed to get so deep with me. I don't know why, but I think I was just in a sensitive mood, and I managed to unleash so much about myself. I think I went really deep, like deeper than I actually wanted to go. So if you listen to that podcast, firstly, I am sorry if I sound like a crazy psycho, and B, I'm sorry that you now know probably far too much about me and my inner feelings about life and everything in general and the way I work. I don't know how he did it. Very clever man, just made me feel very comfortable, was asking me deep questions. And I think he just got me in the right mood, and I was just there, ready to unleash it all. I think it was just because, you know, when you work really hard and then sometimes you're just a bit tired, and then you're just a bit more open. And I was very, very open, maybe a bit too open, to be honest with you. But I've not heard back what the podcast was. It was an amazing chat. He's such an interesting guy. I actually really wanted to get him on my podcast, but basically, I really want like Rick to come on my podcast, want Eric to come on my podcast, but I feel too embarrassed because they have these like honestly proper setups. I am sat here with my laptop with a microphone plugged into it. Like, it's so low key, it's so budget. I mean, it's a good microphone. I'll give it a 10 out of 10 for a microphone, but it's just nothing like they've got, and I feel a bit embarrassed, to be honest with you. Like, I do. I feel a bit embarrassed. I don't want them to be like, oh God, is this all she's got? This little Mia Baker is trying to have herself as a content creator and this is it. Well, unfortunately, it is. This is me. This is my life. Obviously, Thursday and Friday, I did Sky Sports only. And then, actually, I went into hospitality for the first time. And as I walked through, it was basically, I think it was called the Patrons Pavilion. And what you do is you kind of, well, all the brands or sponsors, they get a room and they can design it however they want. So if you kind of peer through the windows, which I kind of did, you can see all of the different designs and setups and layouts, which I thought was really cool. I'm a bit nosy. I like to see what's going on. Obviously, I couldn't go into them, but I just kind of looked in and I peeked in and I saw all of the way that they set it up. And it was actually really cool. I honestly had the best almond milk iced latte in there. It was so delicious. And all of the staff were super sweet. Like, I don't know what it is. I love a posh Scottish accent, like pottish. I think it sounds so nice. And there was a boy and he had a pottish accent. And I was like, I love your accent. It's so nice. I wish I had an accent. I think mine's just very British, isn't it? It's just a basic British accent. I don't think I really have an accent. I don't know. The food and hospitality, I ate there once. I had a lunch there and it was the fanciest dinner I've ever had in my whole entire life. I had like a lobster bisque for starters, which was like a soup. And then I had like this steak with chips, just fries, and the most delicious gravy in the whole entire world. I love chips and gravy. I just think it's so delicious. And it was just so yummy, all incredible. And oh my God, it was so nice. I don't even know how they managed to do it because obviously there, it's all of a, well, it's all of like a pop-up type thing. So it's just there for now. And they managed to cook these incredible meals in this temporary structure. It was unbelievable. Like I think I said unbelievable so many times in this podcast, but everything blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I guess that's what you get when you go to your very first men's major. Interestingly also, this was my first time seeing Tiger Woods play in real life. Now, Thursday, first day of the tournament, first time ever seeing Tiger, and he doubles the first. I know you're going to kill me and you're probably going to think I am the worst person in the whole entire world, but I have only known Tiger Woods since he's not played very well. And I get it. He is a legend and everyone's obsessed with him and he's iconic. But I've never seen him like do his iconic stuff. I hate to break it to you. I really want to have that resonation with him. I really want to feel what everyone else feels, but because I started later, I just am really struggling to find it. Like I don't have like a connection with him because I feel like I've missed out on his peak golfing career, if that makes sense. And it's really gutting. I find it really gutting. To be fair, by the end of the tournament, I started to really enjoy it more, like the Saturday and Sunday where things were getting really tense. Oh my God, it was so much fun. Rick, Seb and I and Craig and like some others, Guy, etc. We were stood like on the 17th, which was super cool to watch like Rory come down, Victor Hovland come down. Oh my God, I think I'm in love with Victor. I have like a soft spot for him. I don't know why, but well, I do know why. He's just like the nicest person ever. He's like always smiling. He's got like good vibes about him. I really like him. I would love to meet him in real life. I once did sit like genuinely like he was so close to me. He was on the breakfast table next to me and I just didn't have the courage to say hi. Just didn't have it in me and I really wanted to say hi and I just didn't. I just chickened out. And you know when you have those moments you just regret it? It's a moment that I regret. I'm like, oh, why did I not just say hi to him? I really should have just said hi. Why was I such a wimp? What I will say is Saturday and Sunday got even more busy. It was heaving. So I just didn't really feel that comfortable walking around with without someone just because it's so large. That being said, I had to get in really early on Saturday and Sunday. I think I had to get in for like 7:30 on Saturday and 6:30 on Sunday. But if I ever have to wake up in the fives, oh my God, I hate it so much. Like waking up in the fives is just not my cup of tea. Wake up at 7, happy days. I'm all for that. Like, wake up at 7 every single day, beautiful. Waking in the fires, no, please don't make me do it. I just think it should be illegal. I don't think anyone should have to wake up in the fires. It's just so mean. So I did the open show in the morning. Is that what we're going to call it? We're going to call it that. The open show in the morning with Henny, Nick, Doherty, and a guy called Nicholas. And it was actually so much fun. So if you don't know much about live filming, presenting or whatever, which I, to be honest, didn't really know much about. You basically get this thing in your ear. It's like an earpiece, but you can hear everything going on. So you can hear the producers and the directors and everything in your ear. And it's really interesting because they're effectively coordinating everything that you guys see on your TV. So for instance, they might say, all right, Henny, you're going to ask me a question now about X, Y or Z. And then she'll ask me the question. Then I respond. And then at the same time, they've got like everything going on. So they could have someone being like, right, break's coming in 3, 2, 1, like that type of thing. For me, they kind of only spoke to me when they needed like to speak to me, for example. They'd just be like, okay, Mia, you're going to do this now. It's just so interesting. I felt like a bit more of a puppet, like someone was directing you and telling you what to do, whereas I'm more used to just winging it and just doing my own thing. So it was so interesting. And it was actually a lot more stop-start than I thought. So So obviously with the breaks and with the features that go on the TV, during those moments, you kind of just wait for you to come back on. It's honestly so fascinating. I know some people came to the Open Zone and they saw it actually happening there live. But it's just like a really interesting thing to have experienced. I don't think it was too bad because I think if you've never been in front of a camera, oh my God, it's probably the most terrifying experience of your whole entire life. Plus with people watching you. Well, you don't really see the people watching you because they feel a little bit further away. And because you're talking to a camera and talking to each other, it doesn't feel as intimidating as if you were like talking on a stage, even though it was technically on a stage. It was interesting. I mean, I didn't mind doing it. I did feel a little bit like everyone had a lot more golf knowledge than I did, and I could only just share my personal views and opinions based on what I did know. But in terms of an experience, yeah, I thought it was pretty fascinating. One of the things that I did film, which I thought was quite fun, was I basically the event has these like sustainability initiatives, and one of them was basically under consideration was the installation of electric charging points for both bikes and cars. So I had to ride this electric bike on the beach whilst talking a script to a camera. Now, it's actually so much harder than you think because of the sand. And also trying not to go so fast, because the electric bike, obviously, as you start pedaling, you plow through, you go so, 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 so fast. And you're trying to go slow, but then the sand, if it's not hard enough, is just kind of slugging along the floor. Plus, I'm not very good with scripts. I'm not going to lie. I'm not the best script person. I'm more of a gist person. You give me a gist and I can kind of make something up, but I had to kind of regurgitate a script to make sure I was saying everything correctly. It was really, really fun. I actually really enjoyed that because I kind of like non-live stuff. I like doing stuff that isn't just... I like stuff that's a bit more mainstream. I like being mainstream golf. Do you know what I mean? Like, just very normal. I love being normal, not gonna lie. I think it's really fun. I mean, Saturday was like a super busy day for me. I think I went home about 7 o'clock. I didn't want to stay out or anything. So 7 o'clock was about time that I finished. And basically, oh my gosh, this is so funny. I don't know if you find it funny, but I find it funny. I drove the car. So you get like this courtesy car. And I filled in like all of my information, blah, 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 so that I could actually borrow it. And I borrowed Henny's car and I didn't know how to put it into reverse. This sounds so stupid, but in my car, I've got a little Volkswagen up and going into reverse, I literally just pushed the manual stick into reverse. And on this car, I didn't realize you have to like pull it up to go into reverse. I've just never used, I've never driven another car other than my own. And I honestly, for the life of me, could not find out how to get this car into reverse. It was quite like a tight space. I ended up sitting on the side of the road trying to figure out how to get this car into reverse. I was Googling it and the cars came by. And every time they came by, I kind of just went on my phone and was pretending that I needed to use my phone. And that's why I'd stopped on the side of the road. Not because I had no idea how to put my car into reverse. It was the most embarrassing, mortifying moment of my life. Obviously, I ended up figuring it out. I don't know how I ended up figuring it out. I think I was just like literally testing everything with this gear stick. Eventually managed to figure it out after probably about 10 minutes. Google did not help because I didn't really know what to write into Google. There needs to be like a Google manual on cars which have confusing buttons. Like even the boot button was on the light. It was really confusing. Like how would you have known that the boot button is the light and opens like a door rather than like a normal boot? It was a very strange car. Finally got home, managed to go to sleep at a normal time, 11. My bedtime is usually 11, so managed to go to sleep at 11. And then obviously Sunday was the final day, which is the most exciting day. It was so fun. I loved Sunday. Obviously, I had to get up at 6:30 a.m. Nope. I got up in the fives, arrived at, where did I arrive? I arrived at the TV compound for 6:15. We did the live show in the morning, and then I kind of just did some social bits for the rest of the day and then also tried to watch some of the golf. And I'd never seen anything like it because, well, obviously how do I explain this? Because I've never been to a big event like this. Obviously, I've been to women's events, but they're kind of different. This was like my first big, big, big event, and plus it was the 150th. I didn't know that when the final players finish, then everyone goes onto the course and they can follow the players up on the 18th. And I've never seen so many people go onto the course. Like, it was Victor and Rory who were in the final group. Obviously, Cam Smith had just had the round of his life. I can't believe what he scored on the back nine. That's honestly mind-blowing stuff. He definitely deserved to win. It was not that Rory didn't deserve to win. It was Cam Smith played exceptionally that he really deserved to win. Rory didn't play bad. Cam Smith played incredibly, if you know what I'm saying. Like, he deserved it so, so much. I think, yeah, I'm so glad that he won because he grafted and he worked hard and he managed to get it. I was actually rooting for Vic, obviously, but I'm also super happy that Cam Smith won. I think he really deserved it. He was absolutely fantastic. But anyway, when all of these people came up, I was like, oh my God, people were honestly climbing over walls. This one guy climbed over a wall. I swear down, he fell. He just fell over the wall. He then tried to get up and like literally toppled to the right. I think he broke his ankle. He genuinely broke his ankle. I think like he literally didn't move from that spot. They had to get the paramedics over. And I was like, this is absolute chaos. I was in the grandstand. So I was with Micah and Micah's from Good Good and his wife, Katie, and then also Seb. And we were watching and we just could see all these people climbing over this wall. I've never seen, honestly, it was like being in a zombie apocalypse. You know, have you ever seen, what's that film? It's like Walking Dead isn't a film, it's a program, but Walking Dead, or what's that one with Will Smith in? And there's like a disease that goes round. Oh, Walking Dead? No, Shaun of the Dead. That's the funny one. Something like Shaun of, you know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, it just seemed like there was zombies everywhere, just clambering over everything, everywhere. It was like White Walkers. Is it White Walkers? Oh my God, my brain has literally got one brain cell right now, but from Game of Thrones. Oh, I've never seen, it was, oh my gosh. I must say it was actually quite fun watching everyone and just seeing everyone on the course and how many fans there were and how many people obsessed with golf and loved golf and were there for enjoyment and were just having the time of their life. I mean, people were doing like backflips on the Swilcombe Bridge. They were jumping into the burn. It was like, wow, I did not realize that golf was like this. It's always usually so proper and so formal, and you'd never be allowed, in my mind, on the course once, like, that many people ever, really. So the fact that everyone was just there, and I don't know if you've seen any of the photos of it, oh my gosh, it was unreal. I mean, overall, I enjoyed the event so much more towards the end because I had more people around me and I wasn't alone and I kind of got used to it a bit more. Obviously, it's a massive, massive event. There's so much stuff there and just being on your own wasn't that enjoyable. So if you ever go there, I would like highly recommend that you go with people because it just makes it so much more fun. That being said, I met so many of you guys, which was honestly heartwarming. I really enjoy it when you guys come and say hi to me. It's actually really, really nice. Like a number of like dads and mums came up to me with their kids and were like, oh, you've got her book. And that was so heartwarming. I felt it like really, honestly, it was so fulfilling to know that there are people out there who genuinely like bought my children's golf book and read it to their kids at nighttime. And I don't know, like, I can't even explain to you how nice it is just like for someone to make that comment to me in real life and know that it's like a legitimate thing, because obviously I talk about it or I show it on social, but you never always get to see the reality of it. And yeah, I was really blown away. So anyone who did say hi to me or ask for a photo or tell me about that they've got my children's book or anything in between, like, it was honestly such a pleasure to meet you and speak to you and see you. And yeah, just thank you so much for being so kind to me and always just supporting me and watching my content and just being there. Like, I'm honestly so grateful. And also thank you so much for, you know, getting your partners into golf and your mums and your girlfriends and your wives and your daughters. Like, it means so much. And yeah, I feel really inspired by all of you. I think you're all amazing. I mean, I would have absolutely have loved to have played on Monday today. I'd have loved to have gone out and actually experienced the Of course, considering I did say at the beginning of this podcast that it was easy, which is probably probably not the reality. But, you know, sometimes, you know, we can be a bit cocky, can't we, with our golf? But I did enjoy it overall, though. I mean, yeah, it was overwhelming, intimidating. I was doing things super out of my comfort zone. But if anything, it's inspired me more to want to make more YouTube videos and do more golf content. Not that I don't do enough, but I don't know. Like, I honestly have never wanted to hit a golf ball more than when I was watching everyone else. I was like, oh, I really want to be at home right now, and I want to get on a golf course, and I want to be practicing, and I want to be filming, and I want to be making more content. And yeah, I feel so inspired by golf, and the events I think really inspire you. And I feel like if you're a bit out of love with golf, go to an event, like a big event, and I think the people around you and their enjoyment and, you know, the atmosphere and the way they feel, like, just make you feel so excited to want to keep yourself in the game and become part of this, like, unreal community. And I don't know, it's really cool. And now obviously I'm here at Evian and I'm at the women's event. And if you get yourself to an event, get yourself to a women's event, because they are unbelievable. They're so fun. You can get right up close with all the players. There's so much space. They're really cool. Like, obviously I do the Aramco events. They're super cool because they've got the grandstands. They've got like all of the amenities. They've got a really good fan zone and it's just really accessible. So yeah, I would highly recommend just coming to something, and it really, really inspires you, I think, to play golf. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Unsus. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here as always. Make sure you don't forget to follow and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And remember, feel free to DM me any questions or stories you'd like me to chat about next week on Instagram. It's @MiarelloX. Chat soon.